And good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Faith Foundations from the revival capital of the world. And this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. So many of you are watching all across the world today and across the fruited plain here in the United States. And churches everywhere are not meeting in person because of something going around I've heard about. But I thank God for his healing mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, I want to get into this. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things Brother Copeland said last week and then look at some things going forward. Is that okay? So we so often say good God, bad devil. And I don't think we fully understood what that has meant. We've lived our whole lives in the age of grace, with relatively little persecution. We lived in a time when we didn't live in a time when God confounded languages because of socialism, first socialist government, there in Tower of Babel. We did not witness the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So we've lived in a time of peace. Our entire life has been lived in the last days, in the age of grace. Let me show you a few verses very quickly, and then I want to show you some things about America and our timeline that we're on. Is that all right? So I'll go pretty quickly with these. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9 says this: Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy, chesed, for 1,000 generations. Glory to God. There's condition to this. With those who love him and keep his commandments. If you're keeping this, you're in this, you're okay. You're covered. You're in covenant. Let me show you another one. Verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 7. For the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy, chesed, which he swore to your fathers. Say, now we have some things sworn to our fathers as well. I'm going to get there. Here in America, we have some things sworn to our fathers. We have some things sworn to our spiritual fathers as well. Okay, I can go down the list. I'm going to hit these real quick. 2 Chronicles 6, Nehemiah 1, Nehemiah 9. All verses that talk about the exact same thing. Psalm 25 says this, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord. Listen to this. All the paths of the Lord are chesed and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Isn't that good news? Psalm 89, verse 28. My chesed, mercy, I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. You don't have anything to be fearful of whatsoever. Isaiah 54 and verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness, that's chesed, that's the same word translated differently, shall not depart from you. His mercy shall not depart from you. His loving kindness, his favor, his grace, those are all translated in that word chesed. Daniel chapter 9, verse 4 says this: And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, listen to this, who keeps his covenant and chesed with all those who love him and those who keep his commandments. And in all these verses, and these are just a few of them, I noticed a pattern here. The covenants of God, the covenants of the Father are attached to mercy, truth, peace, favor, blessing. And they tell us in Psalm 136, 1, 1 Chronicles 16, that his mercy, his chesed, endures forever. So now that word, let me tell you real quick about that word. That word is so difficult to translate. Brother Copeland said that last week. Mercy, favor, loving kindness, grace, covenant, loyalty, forgiveness, those are all translations in the First Testament, in the Old Testament about it. Why so many definitions for one word? because there's no precise equivalent in English for it. In the New Testament, it's translated charis, grace. Some of the newer translations don't quite get it right. And he broke it up this way. Here's what I saw this. And I looked up some of the rabbis, and one of them said this. It's his attitude and persistence toward his covenant and his people. It's his attitude and his persistence toward his covenant people against, based upon, his standard of righteousness. Hello. So his mercy, his hesed, is based upon his standard of righteousness. Now, I qualify for his standard of righteousness because I'm born again. Glory to God. So therefore, it's never going to leave me. It endures forever in my case. That's good news. So when this word hesed is used in Israel, toward Israel, it's usually translated as mercy and goodness. When it's hesed towards man, it's usually translated as mercy, favor, long suffering, or steadfastness. When it's translated as man's attitude towards God, it's usually called kindness. Isn't that interesting? It's a different level of love. This word everlasting is the everlasting attitude of what the Father swore by his own name in his own blood. This is why he's protecting his people even when they grumbled, even when they complained, because it's his way of doing things. From the garden to the New Jerusalem, it'll be the same. See, the children of Israel thought they were doing good. Let me show you something, if you would. Exodus chapter 19. Let me show you where the Father reveals this. He tells Moses, he said, bring them to me. Bring them to my presence. And so, you know, all the things that happened in Egypt, and then he brings them out. But let me show you Exodus chapter 19. I'm going to begin with verse 3. Now, I'm not going to go as fast as I did a while ago with that. I want you to see what happened here. Verse number 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Now, he did not say commandments there. He said covenant. What covenant are we talking about here? The covenant of Abraham. That's all they've got. Commandments are about to come, the Ten Commandments. But right now, this is the covenant. You shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. I've looked at it this way, and I've said this to myself. I am a special treasure. Come on now. With days that I didn't feel like getting out of bed, days I didn't feel like looking at anybody or talking to anybody, I am a special treasure because of the covenant. Now look at this. Verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Now see, if you read that in the Hebrew, they're already saying, we've already done this. We've been doing this. Well, no, they hadn't. They've been acting like Egyptians. Come on now. They don't know that they're not righteous. There's no knowledge of it. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and you believe forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 10, go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Let them be ready for the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up the mountain or touch its base. Now, go on down, Exodus 33. Let me show you Exodus 33. And verse 18, you got to see this. Moses is going to ask something that's against his timeline, against his time. Verse 18, Exodus 33, 18. He said, please show me your glory. Verse 19. Then he said, here it is. Look at this. Then he said, I will make my hesed, my mercy, my grace, pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious, same word hesed, translated differently, to whom I will be hesed. And I will have compassion, there it is again, three times in this verse, on whom I will have compassion, four times in this verse. See a pattern with the Father? He doesn't just throw words out there. Every word he speaks is measured. This is why Jesus said the words that, the things I'm doing, the things I've heard the Father say to do. Now, let's go on. Where that verse did I leave off on? Verse 20. He said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, look at now what he does to Moses. Verse 21. And the Lord said, let me go to the board. This is key. Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. Now think about this for a second. Where is Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of the Father. That's the place by him. You and I, because of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, have been placed in that place right now. Positionally, we're seated with him. He takes Moses outside of his time. It's the wrong time. We're talking about our time right now. And he said, there's a place by me. Now let's go on. Verse 22. So shall it be, while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back. My face shall not be seen. So the Father describes himself as Hesed, okay? He takes Moses out of his dispensation of time and for a brief moment in time places him positionally in Christ. So that he could, do the man's request. I mean, if he has to stop the sun to win a battle, he'll stop the sun. If people acted all crazy, have you been to the market lately? I went out to a grocery store yesterday, and it looked like a socialist country. Everything was empty, the shelves. You think this is bad? Wait till the tribulation, honey. Thank God we're missing it. Amen? So the Father describes himself as this, and he puts him in Christ for just a moment in time so that he can see this. Now, if you go through this all the way through, you'll see over and over and over and over and over the blessing of God on us. See, we have been placed in Christ Jesus, not temporarily. We're in there. Amen. We're there, church, and we're blessed. Now, there's so many things I could say. Let me just give you a little something here in Daniel chapter 12 of a timeline. Is that okay? Not to put fear in you. We're not afraid, right? We're not afraid of anything. And Daniel, he's talking to Daniel about Israel in the last days. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, he says, he shall confirm, there's three different he's in that verse. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week shall cause the sacrifice to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Now, let me take you over here to verse 12 and show you something that I was shown just recently. Not to scare you, but to give you a little timeline of where we're at. And you don't have to be afraid of anything here. Verse 8. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 8 says this. Although I heard, I did not understand. This said I, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Verse 9. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. See, I'm seeing a dividing line. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away. And now this is the time of the temple destruction under Daniel's day. And the abomination of desolation is set up. There shall be 1,000 290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest. Now, he's telling him what Daniel's going to happen to him. For you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days. He's talking about the rapture right there. He's talking about Daniel. You're going to enter into rest, but I'm going to resurrect your body at the end of days. Church, I'm telling you, we are closer to the return of the Lord than you realize. Now, the temple, see, I did a little math on this. I got with some scholars. We started looking at this. He's in Persia, and he's talking about the temple. The temple in Daniel's day was destroyed in 587 BC. Now, we know from history that the sacrifices stopped 18 years earlier than that, 605 BC. So I'm going to do this math real fast. Let me just show you something. And don't run crazy with this. I'm just showing you a little thing here. So 1,290 days, or years, okay, minus the 605, and you get a date of 685 AD. Now, what's the deal with that? That's when they started building the Dome of the Rock, that exact year. That's what was built on that Temple Mount. That's the desolation. Matter of fact, if you read the Arabic in there, there's a curse toward the Son of God written in Arabic on the top of that thing. Here's the thing. That's when they began building it. But bless he that waits. So you take that date, 685, plus the 1,335, and you get to the year 2020. I'm telling you, I'm not saying he's returning this year. He might. I hope so. But here's the deal. What I'm trying to tell you is all of this stuff is wrapped up. Everything that's happening in the earth right now, not to cause you to fear, but you just need to realize what time it is. I step back and I see the whole thing on this. So I started looking at something. We just had Purim. Purim, they had a super moon, which just happened. This year, there's a super moon at Passover. There's a super moon at Rosh Hashanah. This was in the Israeli press, in Israeli newspapers. Listen to this. Rabbi Yosef Berger noted the political significance of supermoons after the blood moon. Supermoons falling on Purim, Passover, and Rosh Hashanah. And he says this, the moon signifies kingship. A supermoon on all of these holidays, this is Rabbi Berger, says it means this, the Davidic dynasty is about to return. My God. You know what he's saying? He said the Davidic dynasty, the Messiah, is about to return. And they're looking at the signs and the stars and in the heavens, and they're printing that in the Israeli papers. And we're wondering if we can get toilet paper. My God. Come on, man. Come on. We need to lift up our heads. We live in covenant. Now, I'm going to show you something real quick about covenant. What do I mean we live in covenant? Let me show you a quote here real quick that I wrote this down last night. John Adams, President of the United States, said this. He said, the 4th of July ought to be commemorated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. He said this, listen to this. Let us acknowledge God by affirming our nation's covenant with him. Now, what nation's covenant? What is he talking about? Our nation's covenant. What's he talking about? Well, I'll read it to you right here. This was Jamestown. Jamestown in 1607. Listen to the words. We do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to raise up godly generations after us and with these generations take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations. This is America, guys. As long as the earth remains, they're setting some covenant terms concerning this nation. Honey, we're not going down over this thing. Listen to this. as long as the earth remains, and many this land along with England, be an evangelist to the world. Well, we've done that. You look at the covenant stuff of Livingston and all those guys from England. May all who see this cross, they planted a cross, remember what we've done here. And may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant and in this most noble work that the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled. 1607, Jamestown, Virginia. That's the covenant he's talking about. And if you look over with the pilgrims, you see the exact same thing. In the name of God, amen. We who are underwritten, the loyal subjects of the dread sovereign King James, in the grace of God in Britain, having undertaken for the glory of God the advancement of the Christian faith. My goodness. From the earliest beginnings, our founding fathers, our forefathers, made a covenant with God. And we need to remember it in a time like this. We need to call on it in a time like this. We need to believe in it in a time like this. We need to proclaim it from every corner of this land in this time. Amen? Brother Copeland, I saw you're here. Would you like to say something? Join me on this. This is where we're at. This is the timeline. Glory to God.
As a nation, we can call for Hesed.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's essentially what that word means. Translated in English, mercy. Like blind Bartimaeus.
Yes, sir.
He called Jesus Messiah.
Yes, he did.
He said, Son of David, have hesed on me.
Yes, he did.
Have mercy. Son of David. He just shouted it louder. What did Jesus do? Stopped right where he stood. He heard hesed.
That's who
and
he is.
Somebody calling for hesed, that's his name.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Covenant attention.
Yes, sir.
And we have it in this nation. We have a right to it 24 hours a day.
Glory to God.
Friday evening, 9:24. Just suddenly. Gloria and I had gone to bed early and we're listening to Brother Hagin. And normally we'll listen to two messages. It comes up about 10:30 and turn the lights out, you know, and so forth. And we just finished that first message. And suddenly the Lord said this to me, and I jumped up, ran in there and wrote it down. This disease called COVID-19 will be over much sooner than you think. Christian people all over this country praying have overwhelmed it. Mm. Give me all the glory, saith the Spirit of grace. Many and many, many people will come to know me through it. I'm still Lord over the nation. I'm on the throne, and faith in me changes things.
Glory to God.
Faith in his hesed.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hesed is a healing covenant.
Yes, sir.
And this nation has a healing covenant,
yes,
with
sir.
Him. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Amen.
We're receiving the rebirth of this nation and the healing of the land.
That's right.
Now, there's been some really nasty things that have happened this year, last year and this year, that I'm quite certain, well, I know, opened the door to a lot of this. Displays of hate. And hatred by politicians toward the president. And hate on both sides. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Democrats hate him. Well, we have some people that hate them because they hate him. Mm-hmm. Well, what did James say about all of this? Mm. Where there is strife.
Where is that?
James. Chapter 3, let's see, this wisdom right here. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. I looked up the Greek word translated strife, and it talks about political strife.
My goodness.
It didn't say anything about family strife. Of course, it's true there.
Mm-hmm.
But that word is used to describe political fighting.
Wow.
There's confusion in every evil work. And this fussing and fighting going on in this government just opened the doors wide to this country just to bring this trash in here and just slam us with it.
Mm.
I don't think the devil could have gotten away with it. And you have to remember this, Greg, and you have to remember this. What happens to this nation affects the whole world. I mean, when we get to hating people in this nation openly and publicly in political office, and it breaks down the divine protection over this nation, we get hit. We've proven that over the years when politicians come against Israel. We get hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hurricanes.
Yeah. Well, we just got hit. But, like the guy said, walked stumbling out of a gunfight. He said, "Did they get you, Bubba?" "Yeah, but they didn't get me good." They didn't get us good.
Sure, sure.
They can't get this nation good. They
Praise
can't
God.
Tear this. We Come. Have hesed with God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we call for it.
Yes,
and
sir.
We get it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wipe this goofy little bug out in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
I just want you to keep going. I looked over here as you were talking, Brother Copeland, 2 Timothy chapter 3. You realize we live in the last days. The last days began in Acts chapter 2. You've lived all your life in the last days. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel in the last days. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You've lived your entire life. In 2 Timothy, Paul is teaching one of his students, one of his sons in the faith. In chapter 3, he says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." Now, we're not afraid of that. And he tells why. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves," selfish. Selfishness is here's what selfishness is. It's me withholding what I have the power and ability to give. Now that can be financially, or that can just be a smile. Come on now. That could be cookies to somebody that moves in down the street. That could be, I'll tell you what it is. I have a neighbor that's not, he's going to do better at mowing his yard. He doesn't do so well. And I started, you know, one day I was kind of, "Lord, I don't know why this guy can't seem to get his yard mowed. I don't know why, you know, because I see weeds from his yard sprouting up in my yard every year because he's got all these weeds over there." And I'm just complaining to the Lord about it, to be honest with you. Complaining about his dog. It's the barkingest dog I've ever, I'm like, what is wrong with that dog? I went out one time to curse that dog. So he would just, you know, whatever. And I've bound that dog. I've loosed peace over that dog. You know, just this dog, you know, it's flesh. That's flesh. I don't have any scriptural basis for that thing. It's just, I'm irritated at that guy. And I heard this, till you get that straight. God was dealing with me. It had nothing to do with that man or his dog. Guess what I started doing? I started mowing that man's yard. I realized something about him. He works in the medical profession. I don't know to this day, because I'll say hi to him, doesn't really talk to me. And I understand why. I probably had an ugly face all the time that they moved in. But he works in the medical industry. You see him leaving. He's got his scrubs on and just, you know, different things. And I realized this guy is working all the time in a stressful thing. He don't have time to mess with his yard or to play with the dog. I bought an extra bone. Gave that old cranky dog a bone. Started blessing that dog. Speaking life over that dog. Hey, look at there. You dug another hole so you can look over here and see me. How you doing, buddy? You know what I mean? Just cover that hole back up. But I started mowing the man's yard next to me. If I withhold what I have the ability to give. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous or hard times, you could translate hard times, shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the ingredient number one, selfish. I have the ability to mow that man's side. I don't go in his backyard, of course, but I mow his side yard that attaches to me. And I've done the front a time or two and around the mailbox. For a little while, listen to this. We got a mailbox that sits between the two of us, like this right here. This would be my house over here, and that would be his house and our mailbox in that little strip between our two houses. I used to mow half of this and leave that half. Well, that's his side. And it'd have all kind of stuff growing up in it. He had a tree coming up at one point by that mailbox. And the Lord really took it to me about this. I'm withholding what I have the ability to give. I'm being selfish. And because I'm being selfish, I've opened the door to hard times. I'm telling you what, I didn't plan on this. This wasn't in the notes, but that's for somebody, for what you've been going through. You've opened the door to hard times in your life. You'll read the rest of this list: covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, incontinent, and fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now, we look at that list and say, none of that's me, but I'm telling you what, I had the ability to mow half, this other half of that mailbox, and refused to do it. And I was opening the door to hard times in my life. You out there, or did you go home? Amen? I'm telling you what, now this is going to be our finest hour. I saw a man in 2018, I saw a video of this, a man in 2018 prophesied this virus, that what's going to hit. And then he said this, but this will be the church's greatest hour. This will be the church's greatest hour because you have the answer. I said, you have the answer. Why? Because you have a covenant of his mercy, a covenant of his chesed in you. You might be the only well house on the street. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, sir.
Truce breaker.
Truce breaker.
See that in that scripture?
Yes, sir. Verse 3.
Without a treaty or covenant.
My Lord. Without a treaty or a covenant. Now, Paul's going to write that same thing about us Gentiles. He said, at one time, you were strangers and aliens to the covenant. But we're not anymore.
Right.
Amen. We've been grafted in. Matter of fact, we've been more than grafted in. We've been given sonship in this thing because of the blood of Jesus. Our founding fathers called upon the covenant that was made by the people who first got here. Amen. And we're going to walk in it. We're going to be proud Americans. And the Lord's been dealing with me concerning that very thing as well. Quit dividing yourself. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, quit dividing yourself. Whether you're an American and you have a covenant. That's what I'm looking at. And you're a son. And many people, many other people need to come in covenant with me Many other people need to get in on this thing. Now, listen to me. Let me show you something. We got to watch how we respond. That's important. You watch it in the life of Jesus. I gave you verse after verse after verse about how we respond to this. Watch. Let me show you something very quickly. What verse was that? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10 says this, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge, in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Look at that. According to the knowledge of the image of the one that created me. Then Peter tells us, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Knowledge is the beginning, but doing it is the different matter. This is the church. We've got a whole lot of knowledge, but it's time for us to become doers. Amen. Amen. It's time for us to become doers. I am so blessed by Brother Copeland anointing everybody with oil the other night and praying the prayer of faith. Doing what the word said. People make fun of him over it. That's okay. We're going to keep doing it. Matthew chapter 5. Let me show you some examples of Hesed in Jesus. Can I do that? Because that's how, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, he takes this serious. I'm going to warn you. Listen. You're responsible for what you know. I'm going to warn you about something. You're responsible for this. He takes this seriously. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the what? For they shall obtain. If you want more Hesed in your life, you've got to sow it. For whatever a man sows, that shall he be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you need Hesed in your life, and you do, believe you do, yes, you do, then you sow it. I'll show you this in just a second, the life of our Lord. Verse 13, Matthew 9:13. But go and learn what this means. I desire. I'm sorry, I just get happy when I read this. Go learn what this means. Now, this is red letters in your Bible, isn't it? I desire Hesed and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You're righteous. You're already called. You're already in. Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God forever. Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And verse 23, now this is one of, we talk about Jesus in the Mount of Beatitudes and blessed be and blessed this, but he had a few anti-beatitudes where he said, woe unto yous. Pay attention to those. Verse 23, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, hesed, and faith. I said, and faith. Hesed and faith go together. This is why we're faith specialists. And because we're faith specialists, we're Hesed specialists. Glory to God. Woo! I'm about to get happy. Let me show you another one in the life of our master. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse number 25. Oh, my goodness. And behold, a certain politician. No, it doesn't say that. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. Now, think about this. They tested him, put him to the test. What were they doing? Proving him, but in a different way here. Saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? How many of you have inherited eternal life? Of course, of course. He said to him, what is written in the law? Now, why did he say that? Because he's a lawyer. He didn't answer people who called out, son of David, have Hesed on me, with the law. It's how you approach him is how he'll approach you. Uh-oh. What measure you meet shall be measured out to you. Okay, here we go. He said, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It means you mow your neighbor's side of the yard too. I'm still talking. And I do that now. I'm not complaining about it anymore. I'm happy to do it. I shout every time I do it. I did it just before all this rain here in Texas. I was praising God. I praise God he didn't mow his yard. I look now to see if he mows it so I can get over there and mow it real fast. I'm telling you, it's become my passion to mow that man's side yard. Glory to God, I get to mow this. Let me just tell you something. We're getting a house now, too. See, you sow. Let's just go on. That just dawned on me just now. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Where'd I leave off? Okay. And he said to him, you've answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he wanting to justify himself. he's in trouble. Said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Go on down to verse 35 of Luke chapter 10. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I'll come again. He tells this whole story here and repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among thieves? He's telling him, he's giving him a story of an example so that he can see this. Verse 37, he said, the one, he who showed hesed on him. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. Guys, right now, as believers, as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, as covenant people, if we will do that, there won't be an empty seat in any church in America. This nation is crying out for the sons of God to be made manifest. And let me tell you how you do it. Right there, according to the words of Jesus. So many times they would call out, Son of David, that's covenant, have hesed on me. That is the everlasting attitude of the Father towards his covenant, is mercy. Every time you call out upon him, he's going to respond that way. I said he's going to respond that way. Glory to God. He's going to respond that way. My wife, Michelle, was just took a whole group of teenagers from Lake Country School here. And she took them on a missions trip. They went to El Salvador, spent a week down there, painted some houses, helped in churches, did street evangelism, got a bunch of people saved. A bunch of those kids that all different kinds of churches and backgrounds they come from. A lot of the kids got filled with the Holy Spirit, never been filled with the Holy Spirit before. Their parents sent them down one way and they came back a different way. Well, you got Michelle with you. That's what's going to happen. They get down there and they're ministering to people. My son is with them, my youngest one. And they had a free day on their last day. So they went out into the ocean. Now, it's a super moon that day. If you know anything, they're 900 miles north of the equator. You know anything about supermoons and the equator and tides, probably not a good day to be in the ocean. And there was a rip current and an undertow that was happening. And before they knew what happened, our son Mitchell was out there. He was past the breakers and he was out there, couldn't touch bottom, and was going under, went under 2 or 3 times. And I've talked to him about it, and I mean, took him to the bottom. And he's trying to get up, and he's trying. And he yells out to one of his friends who goes out there, swims out further to help him. Well, they didn't have any lifeguards on duty. It's El Salvador, right? And so they went and got some help from some local surfers who were out there because the surf was really high, and said, you need to go help. And so they got on their boards to try to go out there. And the other kid that went out to help him is getting tired. And Mitchell's all of 140 pounds, if he's that, soaking wet. And that thing took him down. And Michelle said, all I could see was his little head bobbing out there. She goes, I knew I couldn't go out there and do anything. And this thought in her head, now you got to learn to listen to the difference between your spirit man and your head. Thought in her head, well, what are you going to do about this? She waded out in the water and she began to command, you come back up. Every time his head would go down, you come back up. I'm your mother in the name of Jesus. And she began then to speak to wind and to waves. Waves, I command you, peace be still. And she's talking, and she got all those other kids around her, and they started, all she could do was stand on the shore and point and command and command and command. Thank God. Thank God. Coach A.B., Iva's son, goes out there and helps get him in. And they got him in. He coughed up a whole lot of seawater. But the enemy tried to steal on that thing, and a covenant person with authority got out into the water and began to speak something, began to proclaim something, began to say something. That's what we've got to do, church. Quit griping and complaining and act like your father. Act like Jesus. He got in the boat one day and said, why didn't you guys do something about this? Come on now. We're always asking God to do what he told us to go do. She began to speak to the waves. We have a 15-year-old son with us today because somebody knew how to proclaim and speak the word. Listen, God has raised you up for this very moment right here in this very nation to proclaim the word and to speak the word and not be in fear, not be hoarding all the toilet. I still don't know what, Dr. Bailey, I still don't know what toilet paper has to do with this COVID thing. Listen, you don't have to hoard anything. You don't have to get all in panic about anything. You don't have to get in fear about a single thing. Proclaim the word, Brother Greg, Copeland.
Rick Reyna, the man we made the rally movies and,
yes, sir,
and so forth, lives in Montclair, California. A few weeks ago, a man called him and said, Rick, I'm coming to see you because I have something for you. So when he got there, he had a whole truckload of toilet paper. So Rick has a toilet paper.
He's got the corner on the market.
Yeah. He's passing it out at the church and so forth. I have no idea what toilet paper has to do with, you know, with his thing. But it, I mean, while you're getting everything else, just get all that you can get. But look.
It's become a ministry for his church.
Yeah.
To minister to people.
It's a good way to go door to door.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wrote something down here. Let me find it. Look at this. I'm an American citizen. I served in the military, right? I was born here. I have a covenant with God first, and I've got a covenant in this land. And I started writing this last night. It started coming to me. Listen to what I wrote here. We do hereby. Wait. That's what they wrote. Help me, Holy Ghost. Oh yeah. I wrote this, Father. As American believer in this, your nation, we humble ourselves and affirm our covenant with you again. You are Lord in my life, and you are Lord in the United States of America. We are your people, and you are our King. We love one another as Jesus loved us. Come on now, I had to write that in faith. Had to put a check on myself on that one right there. We love one another as Jesus loved us. We renounce sin and strife and desire unity. I don't know, this started rising up in me. I started writing this down last night. We repent of our forefathers' sins in Jesus' name. And we acknowledge your blessing on our lives and on this land. And we choose the blessing over the cursing in America. Amen. I don't know, I just rose up in me and I began to pray that and write that down. Let me read that one more time and then we're going to take our break. Father, as American believers in this, your nation, We humble ourselves and affirm our covenant with you. You are the Lord in our lives and in the United States of America. We are your people. That's what it says, we the people. You are our King. We love one another as Jesus loved us, and we renounce sin and strife. We renounce sin and strife. That means every other evil work has to flee. And desire unity. We repent of our forefathers' sins in Jesus' name, and we acknowledge your blessing on our land, and we choose the blessing over the curse in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. All right. Any last things? Here we go. It's break time. We'll be back with Pastor George in just a moment. God bless you. We'll see you soon.